Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we are taking, well, a really fascinating plunge into the vibrant, constantly evolving world of Montreal real estate. It seems truly unique.
That's right. And this deep dive, it's specifically tailored for you, our listener. Maybe you're actively looking to buy or sell, or, you know, perhaps you're just curious about what makes this market tick.
Yeah, and to give you that kind of insider perspective, we've gone through quite a stack of material. We're talking detailed neighborhood descriptions, hard market data, even info on a specific realtor, client feedback, lots of stuff.
And those classic real estate quotes, too, surprisingly relevant. Our mission today really is to distill all of that. We want to extract the key insights to help you navigate what the sources call Montreal's distinctive real estate landscape.
Because they really do paint a very particular picture. It's not just a city with property. It's described again and again as a mosaic of communities or distinct neighborhoods.
They really hammer that point home. And look, it isn't just poetic language. The sources emphasize that understanding this mosaic is, well, the absolute starting point for anyone serious about Montreal real estate.
Okay.
What it means, practically, is that the market dynamics, property values, even the types of buyers and sellers, they can shift dramatically, sometimes, you know, block by block.
A mosaic. It's a striking image. But is it really that distinct, or are we maybe just talking about typical city variations? What's the actual impact on, say, property values?
Oh, it's far more than slight variations, according to the sources. They offer you, this segmentation is absolutely fundamental. What works strategy-wise in one little pocket might be totally useless, maybe even harmful, just a few streets over.
Right.
Think of it less like one big city market and more like a collection of villages almost, each with its own beat.
Okay, so that directly impacts strategy then. It's not just a nice metaphor. Can you give us some like concrete examples of how this plays out?
Absolutely. The sources, they highlight the sharp contrast between, say, the bustling, creative vibe of the plateau, you know, walk-up apartments, busy streets, and the much quieter, almost suburban feel you'd find in Westmount or NDG.
NDG, Notre Dame de Grasse.
Exactly. Larger homes, tree-lined streets, both really popular areas,
yeah,
but they offer vastly different ways of living.
So it's really about the whole lifestyle package then, the community experience, not just the building itself.
That's what the sources imply, yeah.
Yeah.
It's deeply intertwined. The value isn't only in the square footage. It's in what that specific neighborhood offers. You know, the schools, parks, transit, culture, even the noise level.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the sources frame buying or selling in Montreal as such a big deal. Mm-hmm. You're investing in this whole complex ecosystem.
A big deal. Okay, and when the stakes are that high, what's the non-negotiable first step according to the material? Sounds like you can't just dive in blind.
You definitely can't. And that leads right to something hammered home again and again. The need for granular data. That word granular pops up constantly.
Granular. Why is that so important in Montreal specifically? Like, what's the risk if you don't have it?
Well, the explanation is pretty clear. Those big citywide average stats, they can be incredibly misleading.
Mm.
It's like looking at an average temperature for Canada doesn't tell you much about Vancouver in July versus, you know, Winnipeg in January.
Right. Completely different.
Exactly. The sources warn if you rely on those general averages in such a patchy market, you risk mispricing badly. You could overpay in a slower area, or, just as bad, sell your place for way less than it's worth in a really hot spot.
Because Montreal isn't one single market. They even said downtown itself has several distinct micro markets.
Precisely. It's like trying to judge a complex soup by tasting just one carrot. You know, you miss the whole flavor profile, that citywide average price. Might as well be from another city for all it tells you about the specific street or building you care about.
So what kind of specific data are we actually talking about then? What do you really need to make smart moves?
The sources listed out. Recent selling prices, yeah, but for that exact spot. Down to the building type or the specific address if possible.
Okay.
Days on market, but again, for that tiny pocket. And crucially, real-time, neighborhood-specific details. This hyper-local, up-to-the-minute stuff, it's presented as absolutely essential. Not last quarter's city numbers, but last week's sales on your block.
Okay, so given how vital that granular data is and how complex these micro-neighborhoods sound, it begs the question, who guides you through this? The sources kept pointing to the realtor's role, and they use that specific term, fiduciary. What's that all about?
Fiduciary. Yeah, it's a significant term. Basically, it means a legal and ethical duty for the realtor to act only in your best interest. It's a serious responsibility. Loyalty, transparency. It's core to the relationship they describe.
So beyond that fundamental duty, what specific value does a realtor bring in this kind of complex market, according to the sources? They seem to list quite a bit.
They absolutely did. Yeah. I mean, it starts logically with expert market valuation, right? Tied directly back to that granular data we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Using that detailed info to price correctly if you're selling, or to help you make a smart offer if you're buying. Avoiding those pitfalls of using broad averages.
And presentation seemed really key, too, getting the word out effectively. Tech-savvy stuff, social media, mobile-friendly sites, getting listings seen everywhere online.
Definitely. But also, the visuals were hugely stressed. Awesome photography was a specific phrase used. Interestingly, it was tied in one case to a realtor's personal passion for.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Plus, professional video tours, virtual walkthroughs, practical staging advice, making sure the property looks its absolute best.
And beyond those, you know, practical things, the sources highlighted some less typical, more value-driven offerings that really stood out to me.
I agree. That's where it got really interesting. Things like sustainability guidance, helping people make greener choices. That's a growing thing. And the sources connected it to specific certifications.
Right. It mentioned L certification knowledge. And something called L certification. What are those?
So LA, that's Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. It's a pretty well-known global standard for green buildings. Mm-hmm. Sets benchmarks for efficiency, materials, that sort of thing.
Okay.
L most likely refers to the Living Building Challenge. That's even more ambitious. It aims for regenerative buildings, ones that actually give back more than they take, produce their own energy, manage water. It signifies a really deep commitment to environmental impact.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty significant. Suggests a real focus beyond just the basics. And they also mentioned something about social good. Framing deals with community impact in mind. What does that actually mean?
Well, it implies looking beyond just the transaction itself, thinking about broader positive effects, maybe supporting local businesses involved or considering the long-term community fit of a development. It reflects a more maybe holistic view.
And kind of underlying all this, there was this constant mention of a personal touch, like really personalized hands-on service, almost like hand-holding.
Yes, exactly. Especially acknowledging that real estate is, let's be honest, stressful. And support for investors also came up. Guidance on rentals, multifamily properties is presented as a very comprehensive service model.
So you get this picture blending, what they called model data presentation. What does that mean? Model data.
Right. Model data suggests using more sophisticated analysis tools. Think algorithms, predictive modeling, stuff that goes beyond just looking at past comparable sales.
Okay, like forecasting.
Yeah, trying to forecast future value trends, maybe anticipating shifts in demand, or spotting undervalued pockets within those micro neighborhoods before they take off. For you, the listener, it potentially means getting a more forward-looking view, not just historical data. Gives you an edge.
Gotcha. So blending that analytical power with these other very human values and services. Okay, let's zoom in on that specific realtor the sources used as a case study, Bonnie Meisels. What did we learn about her that kind of pulls these ideas together?
Well, her profile was definitely presented as an example of the kind of expertise that fits this Montreal market. The sources point out she's a native Montrealer, which helps with that deep local knowledge. And apparently, as of early 2022, she had 11 years in the business, licensed for both residential and commercial. Updated for today, that put her at around 13 years experience now.
Right, that local experience. And the part that jumped out was the design background, Parsons School of Design. How does that translate into real estate value, according to them?
It translates pretty directly. Practically, it helps with things like decluttering, staging, making a place show well. But maybe more uniquely, especially in Montreal with all its older buildings, it lets her see untapped potential.
Ah, the vision thing.
Exactly. That design eye to see past the as to the what could be. That's huge for finding investment value or just helping buyers imagine themselves in a space that needs work.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Spotting hidden gems. The sources also really emphasized her environmental focus. This seems key.
Yes, definitely a core part of the profile. Her deep passion about buildings and their climate impact was highlighted. This led her to get LD certified way back in 2014, pretty early for a realtor to be doing that.
That is early.
Yeah. And the sources even mentioned her plans for WELL certification. WELL focuses specifically on buildings designed around human health and well-being, air quality, light, comfort, things that make spaces actively good for you.
Wow, LED and well planning. And her motto was quoted too, building a more sustainable future for ourselves and the generations that follow. So yeah, clearly central to her whole approach, not just an add-on.
Seems like it.
So what about working with her? What was the client experience like based on the sources?
They painted a picture of someone who genuinely enjoys helping people achieve their goals, guiding them through what she apparently acknowledges is often a stressful and fraught with surprises process.
Which it definitely can be.
For sure. The goal described was to hold your hand the whole way through it, really emphasizing support and clear communication.
Okay, so pulling that together, deep local roots, the unique design eye, that serious sustainability focus, and a very client-centered, supportive style. It's quite a combination.
And importantly, the sources included client testimonials to, you know, back this up, ground it in actual experience.
Right, what people actually said. And the feedback seemed overwhelmingly positive, didn't it?
Completely. Consistent words like professional, knowledgeable, attentive, problem solver. They specifically highlighted amazing communication, often saying she went above expectations. It really seemed to validate that supportive, hands-on description.
Yeah, that direct feedback does add weight. You know, separate from all the market stuff, the sources also sprinkled in a few of those classic, almost timeless real estate quotes. Kind of fun.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot about those. It's funny how those old sayings still resonate, even in a market as complex as Montreal seems to be, like that James felt one about green space being vital infrastructure.
Yeah, or Andrew Carnegie saying more money's made in real estate than pretty much anywhere else still feels true for a lot of people.
Wasn't there an FDR quote, too, about real estate being safe if managed well?
Yep. Real estate cannot be lost or stolen. Purchased with common sense, paid for in full, and managed with reasonable care, it is about the safest investment in the world. And then that super simple, powerful one from Louis Glickman, the best investment on earth is earth.
It's interesting how those quotes just kind of woven in, they do echo the main themes, don't they? The fundamental value of property, the investment potential, the importance of the land itself.
Mm.
And, you know, in the context of Montreal, they take on another layer, like Carnegie's point about making money. In a mosaic market like this, the profit doesn't just come from buying anywhere. It comes from knowing which specific piece of earth.
Which micro neighborhood is the right one.
Exactly. Which one is positioned to grow or which one fits your specific goals. It ties right back to needing that granular data to make sense of the big picture quote.
Okay, so thinking about everything we've dug into from these sources, what's the main thing for you, the listener, to take away, whether you're buying, selling, or just thinking about Montreal real estate?
Well, the sources really seem to boil it down to two main things. First, if you're looking at Montreal, you absolutely have to appreciate how diverse its neighborhoods are. It's just not a one-size-fits-all city. Understanding those differences is crucial.
Step one, definitely.
And second, maybe even more important, is grasping the need for really specific, granular market data for the exact little spot you're interested in. Don't just look at the citywide numbers. They could really steer you wrong.
Right. As we said, totally misleading, potentially.
Yeah.
And the sources definitely suggest thinking carefully about the kind of value a realtor brings beyond just the transaction, especially one with those specific skills highlighted.
Exactly. Like, does that design eye help you see potential others miss? Is sustainability knowledge really important to your values?
Mm.
Or maybe you just know you'll need someone patient to guide you through what can be, you know, a pretty intense process.
It's also about their whole approach, isn't it? According to the material, does that focus on personalized service, maybe those other values like community impact or social good? Does that resonate with what you're looking for in a partner for such a big decision?
And the sources do make it clear that help is presented as accessible things like free consultations, inviting questions. So ultimately, it's about empowering you, helping you make truly informed choices.
Yeah.
Using that detailed local knowledge and the kind of specific expertise the sources suggest is so valuable in a place like Montreal.
Absolutely. So quite a journey. Montreal's complex neighborhoods, needing that deep data, the evolving realtor role, a specific example showing those traits, and even some timeless wisdom. All these insights, remember, come directly from the materials we reviewed. It's one really valuable take on this market. Okay, so here's a final thought for you to consider, building on all this. If, like Louis Glickman said, the best investment on earth is earth, and Montreal is the city of intricate micro markets with, as the sources suggest, this growing focus on things like sustainability and maybe even community values, what does a truly informed, perhaps even values aligned real estate investment actually look like for you in that kind of dynamic place?
Yeah, that's definitely something to chew on.